Hare Krishna. Last day here in Budapest, and we closed the window because of the dogs. I gave a short report on the conclusion of our campaign and the outcome, but I'm going to give a little more in-depth report. Before I left New Brajadam, we had quite a lengthy istogosti and reviewed the history with the devotees. It was sort of a victory event. And then after that, we had a feast, prasadam, for the devotees. And today, we're going to be having a little celebration feast with the communications department and everyone who was actively involved in the campaign. The police was here in Budapest. Actually, as soon as last year, as soon as our elections took place, we knew, and especially with the victory that the present governing party had, we knew that, number one, this was their priority to sort of modify the church laws, the religious laws in Hungary, in order to, as they put it, keep businesses from acting as churches and thus enjoying tax-free status as well as other benefits, with which we don't disagree. But also to perhaps some were of the opinion that there should be different statuses for churches. Those that have been here in Hungary for hundreds or a thousand years, Catholic Church, and those that are newly arrived and newly come. And prior to July, it seemed that that was what was going to be the reality, that there were going to be three classifications of churches. We were going to be sort of in the middle, which means that we're recognized as a world religion, but not necessarily as a homegrown religion, at least in my words. And in third place were sort of religious associations, but they wouldn't have actually the church status. And of course, that doesn't sound nice in a democracy, that different religions get different rights just on the basis of how long they've been in a place. So we were already actively lobbying at that time. What ended up happening was that in July 11th, rather than pass that law which was being proposed, something happened at the 11th hour, or more precisely on the 23rd hour. And aside from those churches who they wanted to give the first priority status, everyone else was relegated to a religious association as of January the 1st, which would have been January 2 months back. And that means, and then everyone had the right, or was being told that they had the right to apply for church status. So in effect, what it meant is that everyone lost their status as a church, their tax-exempt status, and many other things that came along with that, and then they would have to apply for it once again. So at that point, we began our campaign. And from July until... I'm just thinking, well, up until more or less the end of last year, we were extremely, extremely actively engaged and engaged others as well. Devotees in the UK, devotees in India, particularly Gopal Krishna Swami Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, devotees in the United States, especially in Washington, D.C., in the capital. There were different campaigns that were taking place. We're meeting, communicating to the Hungarian ambassadors in New Delhi, London, and Washington. They were our sort of prime means of communicating to the Foreign Affairs Department, not us, but the Hindu community, the Indian community, the business, Indian business community, that this was something that was really sort of unacceptable, that all of a sudden Gaudiya Vaishnavism as representatives of Hinduism worldwide and Hindus and of India, that they became relegated to second-class citizens. So I want to thank everyone who participated in that and the 50,000 devotees who signed the petition. That was one of the important things that was part of that appeal, of course, here from overseas. And then, of course, here in Hungary, we were constantly in communication with the human rights ministry under in whose hands sort of the religious affairs was, with different government media, trying to communicate both in a friendly way, but at the same time in a very firm way, the sort of unjustness of what had actually happened. And one of the main things, in which I think devotees are well aware of, one of the sort of uncalculated consequences of this parliamentary vote is to take away our religious status would have been that the agricultural lands of New Brajadam, which New Krishna Valley, which more or less means all of its lands, would have fallen de facto into the hands of the Hungarian government. Not that they particularly wanted that. That's what would have happened because in Hungary, religious associations cannot hold agricultural land. Only churches can have agricultural land. So in order to, although we communicated this, and it was one of the major ways in which this law change would have affected us, aside from the fact that we would have had to restructure how the society works, our organization is much bigger than all of the other churches that would have been affected. Very often these churches were just that, a building where some people met, but they don't have full-time devotees, monks like we do. They don't have centers, restaurants, farms, and other places. They don't have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. So it's a whole completely different picture, and that's what was really missing in the vote and in the vision of the government. They didn't understand how actually extensive Krishna consciousness movement was in Hungary and how extensively it was going to affect us. So we had the march on Parliament with the cows. Afterwards, when I went to see the chief whip of the party, he sort of expressed that, and that was the general concern or the vision of the party, that we were going to come with the entire herd. which would have really been quite something. Would be quite something for us to control the entire herd in downtown Budapest outside the parliament. Of course, we only came with one bull and one cow, but that was enough to get the point across. And the result of that protest is that finally government understood what the consequences of that law were, and then they passed another law within the days of the protest, or even before it, again, within days of the protest, that that changed the land law, which in one sense the land law was as much sacrosanct as the church law, for reasons I won't get into in detail, which would have, had we been a just a religious association on January the 1st, that it would have actually allowed us to continue keeping all the properties that we had had before. So that was very significant. We were, in the past, 10 years ago, when we had our major campaign, quite a few laws that we were responsible for changing, and then once again, this law was changed. And with the pressure that was coming on the Hungarian government for other laws that they were changing and things that they were doing, not in regards to the church law, but in regards to many other things, the judiciary, the national bank, and so on, they were coming under very heavy, increasingly heavy pressure from EU and United States. And that also helped us. There were only so many battles one wants to fight, or so many fronts one wants to fight in at one time. And so what actually did end up happening in the end of December, in the vote, in another vote on the church law, which, because of the hasty way in which it was originally configured in July, they had to modify it. So they modified it, that they extended everyone's status up until February 29th, at which time they were going to give a permanent version. And due to the petition, the ongoing communication with Hungarian government internationally, locally, letters that we received from particularly in India, from universities, scholars, religionists, asserting the bona fides of Hungarian Krishna consciousness movement, as well as the importance of there being us being recognized as a authentic religion on the 27th of February. Then the law was passed, and they added another 18 churches to the list, bringing the total to 32, and the other churches that were also had put in their application to be recognized, they would have to reapply again, and their application would be considered later. From a point of principle, it's not something that we really like, because although ourselves and others, such as Buddhist organizations, Muslim organizations, and so on, were accepted as churches, but the basis upon which we were accepted and the basis upon which others were not accepted is not at all based on any clearly defined criteria. And that's not something that, in principle, we agree with. Ultimately, Srila Prabhupada would often say that, yes, it's the duty of government, it's the duty of kings to ensure that religions are actually following religious principles. and that the religious leaders and Brahmins and so on are also following their defined religious principles, and that bogus religions shouldn't be out to just sort of mislead people. In other words, businesses and charlatans and so on. Those religions that do represent religious principles, eternal religious principles, they should be allowed to function. But the criteria by which what is actually a religion, who is representing religious principles, and who's not, and who's accepted and who's not, is not at all defined. In fact, it's been extremely subjective as to how that decision is made, particularly by politicians, and therefore the real separation in that sense between church and state is lacking. Nonetheless, at least we understand and we're happy that our church status, as well as the world religions church status, has been maintained. And we hope that the government will really sort of exercise good discretion in really just discriminating against those that are really businesses and those that are really representing spiritual values, that they are allowed to continue to exist as churches in Hungary. So that's where we are at the present day. Day before yesterday, the president of Hungary signed the law in, so therefore it became, the decision of parliament became law. And once again, thanks to everyone who participated in one way or another. There's a long list of names. I've been for the last 3 days sending out letters of thanks to major participants. I can't thank every single person of the 40,000 who individually who signed the petition, but here, at least on the podcast, I do thank you all, and hopefully that's our excitement for the next decade. We have enough exciting things going on in this world, rather than adding to it in this way. But then, it's the material world, it's Kali Yuga, and we should always expect that there's always going to be challenges propping up. But all those challenges always give us an opportunity to preach. And once again, we had the opportunity to meet and preach to the leaders of Hungarian society, and the end result was that they only got to know us better, both as a religion as well as individuals. Hare Krishna.